Marco Werman, and this is The World. Good to have you here. There's still a lot we don't know about Usama Rahim. He was the 26-year-old man who was shot and killed by police here in Boston yesterday. And here's what the authorities are saying led up to that moment. Rahim had been under 24-hour surveillance by a joint terrorism task force. He'd apparently been spreading pro-ISIS messages online, and he may have been hatching a plan to behead a police officer. What isn't clear is why police decided to approach him in a public parking lot and whether his alleged online activities made him a radicalized follower of ISIS. I asked Juliette Kayyem for her take on the case. She's a colleague here at WGBH and a former top official with the Department of Homeland Security.
So the first thing we know is that it was 24/7 surveillance. That is incredibly rare. You know, so many resources have to go into following someone 24/7. The second thing we know is that something got triggered yesterday that caused the FBI and the Boston police to approach him for an investigation or for an interview without a warrant and with no expectation that there would be an arrest. Now, to approach someone in a parking lot of a CVS where it occurred is very rare. In most instances, you approach someone at their home or at their office where they might be a little bit more comfortable because you don't want it to be antagonistic. And then that's where, at least according to the Boston police, he got very angry and then violent and then ultimately resulting in his death.
So who ends up on this list of people that these various officials were investigating? I mean, how do we even know that Rahim was the enemy?
So the list is going to be over-inclusive and is going to be based on investigations that are ongoing or others that come to the FBI or the Boston Police Department through neighbors or friends. So these lists are bigger than the threat, and we've always known that. And so what clearly happened is they're either looking at social media or they're getting clues from neighbors or friends or whoever that they just begin to sort of put a bullseye on Rahim, which then focused their investigation on him that then led to 24/7 surveillance, which, once again, is very, very rare in these investigations.
So Rahim had been the subject, as I understand it, of an ongoing federal investigation.
Yes.
As part of this JTTF, the task force, into what the feds call homegrown violent extremism. What does that actually even mean in this age of ISIS when these terms get so jumbled
Yes.
together, and who starts here ends up in Syria and vice versa? We don't know.
Yes. I just think now we're at the stage where the notion of membership in a terrorist organization just has to be rethought and reconceptualized. Membership is essentially, or membership in ISIS is essentially, you know, do I have access to Twitter? Am I on Facebook? Do I want to be a member of ISIS? Okay, I'm a member of ISIS. So our notion of membership just has changed. Those of us in counterterrorism once believed, you know, membership was a tight-knit group of people around bin Laden. That's just no longer true. So this notion of homegrown terrorism is essentially someone gets radicalized through social media, through grievances, through just, you know, what is often called jihad chic these days, which is just they want to be part of the quote-unquote in-crowd. I hate the terminology, but anyone who's been in high school sort of knows and can conceptualize it, and that this idea of being part of the in-crowd then animates them towards violence.
I mean, the Boston Marathon bombing trial gave us all an opportunity to kind of better understand how some people living here in the U.S. Become violent. We spoke a lot about that during the trial. What do you think we did not learn?
I think we're always learning. I'm not saying that we make mistakes. I think the nature of radicalization is something that is so difficult for a lot of people to conceptualize. And we kind of want there to be a blinking light saying, oh, this is the guy, this is the guy. It just doesn't work that way. And I will say, out of the Boston Marathon, at least what we did learn, at least what seems to have occurred in the last 24 hours, is that the Joint Terrorism Task Force, which had a lot of problems, it actually seems that a couple years later that the JTTF was working as a cohesive group to target an individual. So maybe we have learned in the last couple years, but the idea that we're going to get this, I think we have to get over. It's just we're not going to get this. This is just radicalization has too many different aspects to think that at any given moment we're going to be able to say, oh, we have a predictive policy that's going to be able to stop this.
Juliette Kayyem is a former top official at the Department of Homeland Security.